one Gemara that we had recently in the Daf Yomi that always resonates with me, because I remember when I was in my early admissions year in Yeshiva University, Rav Aaron Kahn gave a Musar Shmuz in the Beis Medrash, and it was like, it must have been the first or second time I had ever heard him speak, and it was like so overwhelming to me. It was just so powerful. And, you know, it was a 20-minute slot, so he spoke for about an hour and 40. And he gave a shmooze about television. I think that was the first shmooze I heard from him. Maybe it was Hanukkah time. And the Gemara that he quoted, one of the Gemaras that he quoted, was the Gemara in Ksuvah Daf Yotes that we just did in the Daf Yomi. So I always wanted to look more into this Gemara and see the Gedarim of what this Gemara has to say. What the Gemara tells us is that a person, based on the pasuk in the Iyov, says Al Tishkon Be'Alecha Avla, that a person is not allowed to have an Avla in their house. So how do you translate Avla exactly? You know, I wasn't sure how to title the shir. You're not allowed to remove the destructive force from the house, something that you can, I don't even remember what I put in the email, but to remove something that could be destructive or that's inappropriate or that's wrong to have in your house. That's the pasuk. So the Gemara darshens that pasuk and says, what is an example of Al Tishkon Be'Alecha Avla? So the Gemara tells us, Asur lo la'adam sheyisha shtara mana b'toch beiso. You're not allowed to keep a shtar amana in your house. What's a shtar amana? Shtar amana is, I'm not really lending you any money, but in case we want to make it easier for when I do want to lend you money, write me a shtar now that says that you owe me this amount of money, and I'll hang on to it till I actually do lend you money. And we're just trusting each other that this is going to be used only in the best possible way, and it's only going to be used if I actually do lend money. We have a sofer right here. He'll write the shtar. Who knows when I actually want to lend you money if we'll have a sofer available to us. So we just sort of get it out of the way now, even though there's no actual money changing hands. So the Gemara says, that is an avla. It's an avla because right now I may seem very trustworthy, and I may flash a nice smile and give a warm handshake, but tomorrow I may take this shtar and say, aha, you owe me money, and I'll be able to collect money that you don't really owe me. So that is an avla. The Gemara then goes on to say, that's not the only example of an avla. The Gemara says, first of all, that because shtar amana is an avla, an aid is not believed to say that we signed on a shtar amana, because they know the Mesa Matzma Rasha. A person is not allowed to say about themselves that they're a Rasha. Then the Gemara says, another example. Amar b'shur b'levi, asur lo la'adam sheyisha shtar parua b'toch beiso. If you have a shtar that's already been paid, so you have a shtar that says someone owes you $1,000. He paid you back the $1,000 already. He forgot to ask for the shtar back. So you still have the shtar on file, or you told him, I don't know what I did with the shtar, and for some reason you never gave the shtar back, so you still have it at home. To leave that shtar in your house, a shtar perua, it's an avla. Cannot leave it in your house. And then the Gemara gives, so those two examples are obviously very similar to each other. We're talking about a shtar where you can collect money that you're not entitled to using that shtar. Then the Gemara gives an example that's not so similar. Toward the end of source number one, Itmar, Sefer She'eno Muga. If you have a Sefer that's not accurate, it's not accurately edited, there's some mistakes in it, Amar Aviyami, you're allowed to keep that sefer in your house for 30 days. After 30 days, you can no longer keep it in your house. Those are the examples. You can't leave a sefer that... So that's where Rav Kahn picked up his Musar Shmuz, on a sefer she'enamuga. He said, what's the vart in the sefer she'enamuga? That you're going to learn the wrong things. It's supposed to say, lo sirtzach, but the word lo doesn't appear in your Sefer Torah, so you just see the word Sirtzach, you say, oh wow, look at that, there's a mitzvah to murder, and when you're contemplating murder, what are you going to do? You're naturally going to open up a Sefer Torah and see what the Torah says about murder. And you're going to see, it says, Tirtzach, good, so I'm allowed to murder, and then you can go murder somebody. So that would be very terrible, that would be a tragedy, so we don't want that to happen, so don't keep such a Sefer around, you're going to learn the wrong halacha. Is there any other halacha that you could learn, the wrong thing from? But the whole rest of the Torah is so valuable, and it's Divrei Elokim Chayim, and you can learn so much good from the Torah. It's just that one little thing that you're not gonna get right. Doesn't matter. The whole thing is considered an avla because of the Musar. So that's what Rav Kahn was saying. That even if you're going to tell me that there's something good on television, which I'm not makabel that there is, I remember him saying, but even if you're going to tell me that there is, at the very least, it's like a sefer that's missing a couple of sefer Torah, missing a couple of letters. So one could argue that there are several distinctions to be made, but it was a Musar Shmuz. He was being homiletical. But so I wanted to look into that Gemara, that issue of what are you not allowed to keep around your house, specific. So first, the two specific examples of a shtar and a sefer, and some of the details of that, and then to see where poskim apply this to other things. Like Rav Khan applied it to television. Is that something that poskim actually apply it to a television, or is that something that is purely homiletics? Are there other things that this idea can be applied to? So let's start with... we'll start with the Rishonim, and we'll go through, you know, as we go through the Rishonim, the Shulchan Aruch, we'll try to keep it on two tracks, the Sefer She'enu Muga track and the Shtar Perua, and we'll, you know, even though they're two separate entities, we'll try to see the major issues of each one. So first of all, what does it mean, a Sefer She'enu Muga? A Sefer that's not accurate. What kind of Sefer are we talking about? Does it mean an inaccurate Gemara? An inaccurate Sefer Torah? Any book? What does it mean, the Sefer She'enu Muga? So this is actually a five-way machlokas rishonim. What does Sefer She'enu Muga means? The Rambam, when he discusses this halacha, if you look in source number 4, Sefer Torah She'enu Muga asu l'shoso yosal shoshim yom el yisakin u'yignas. If you have a Sefer Torah that's not accurate, you're not allowed to keep it around for more than 30 days. If you can't fix it within 30 days, put it in Geniza. Major psak. What do we do with our Sefer Torah that have errors in it? We just wrap the gartel around the outside and leave it there for years sometimes. People leave it like that. So that's an avla. That's really not right. It's not the right thing to do. It's better than not wrapping the gartel around it and just leaving it there. But it's a big question why that became the Minhag Yisrael, that we just wrap the gartel around it and then pretend like it's not a problem. But okay, but that's that. So Rambam says the issue is purely a din in Sefer Torah. The Meiri holds that it's not only Sefer Torah, it's Sifrei Nevi'im as well. The Rashi on the spot in Maseches Ksuvos writes that it's Sifrei Tanakh, that it's anything in Tanakh. So far we have possibility that it's Torah, possibility that it's Nevi'im, possibility that it's Torah and Nevi'im, possibility that it's Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim. Those are the three possibilities. Either just Torah, Torah and Nevi'im, or Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim. What other possibility exists? What else could it be talking about?
Svarim.
So Gemaras, Halacha Svarim, anything else. So the Ritva says, other Svarim are also included. And the Ritva says, even Rashi would agree to me. But Rashi, you have to understand, is not, what did Rashi say? Rashi said Tanakh. But Rashi, when he's writing his commentary, he's not trying to tell you, looking at it from the perspective in history of a Rishon, what the halacha would be. When Rashi writes his commentary on the Gemara, says the Ritva, it's a fascinating Ritva, he says, what Rashi's trying to do is be mefaresh what the Gemara means. Now, at the time that Rabbi Ami was making his statement in the Gemara, there were no other Svarim other than Sifrei Tanakh. That's all they really had written down as Svarim. So, since there were no other Svarim other than Sifrei Tanakh, that's why Rashi says what Rabbi Ami means is Torah Nevi'im Ksuvim. But that doesn't mean that it wouldn't apply to other. Once we started Eitz Las Hashem Eferos Arsach, we started publishing other Svarim, it could apply to other Svarim equally. So says the Ritva, therefore it applies to Shar Svarim as well. It applies to other Svarim as well. Rashi only said Tanakh, because in Rabbi Ami's times, those were the only books that they actually had. The Hagos Maimonios on the bottom of the Rambam in source number 5 quotes a Rav Yah. Says Kasav Rav Yah da'af b'neviyim uksuva meiri. Says like Rashi that it's Tanakh, but then he adds one more detail. V'hizir af b'talmud v'azahir af b'talmud tava olav bracha. If someone is careful about all of his books, that they all be accurate, so tava olav bracha, he deserves a great bracha. It's a wonderful thing to be super accurate with all of your books. So that's really a fifth shita, that it's not that it only applies to Tanakh, nor is it that it applies to everything. It's that it applies on two different levels. Tanakh is the din, that's a din midivrei Kabbalah from the Pasuk in Iyov, that you have to only have, the Svarim have to be perfect. And when it comes to other Svarim, that's Taval of Bracha. That's a Midas Chasidus, but it is something. It's meaningful to have your other Svarim be accurate as well. That's what the Hagos Maimonios adds. Now, the Beis Yosef comments in Yerodeh, in some Reish Ayin Tes, he quotes this Hagos Maimonios, and then he writes in the name of the Rav Yah, that then he writes to Nimra ben Yeruchim that Hu adin legemaros uperushim ulishar svarim shetzrichim lefareish dinei haTorah umitzvoseha. that the same would be true of Gemaras and Perushim on the Gemaras and any other Svarim. So I would have stopped the sentence right there. Ulashar Svarim and any other Svarim. But no, he doesn't stop the sentence there. It is three lines from the bottom of the page. On source number 6. Ulashar Svarim, Shetzrichim Lefaresh Dine HaTorah U'mitzvoseha. Svarim that specifically are necessary to explain dinim of the Torah and the mitzvos. What's he adding with that? What's he driving at with that line? Why does he just say shar svarim?
Wherever you can make mistakes.
What kind of mistakes? Any time there's an error in the book, you can make a mistake.
Meaningful mistakes.
So halachically meaningful mistakes, yeah, is what it sounds like. We're talking about halacha, dinim, mitzvos. So it's all about not making a halachic mistake. That's how the Beis Yosef seems to understand.
Well, that was the whole explanation to begin with.
Oh, that was my example, but that may not be the whole explanation. Meaning, take for example the Rambam. The Rambam says it only applies to Sefer Torah. That's it. Not Nevi'im, not Ksuvim, not Gemaras, not Sefer Torah, period. So that's about halachic mistakes. How many people passed straight out of the Sefer Torah? What's the impression you get from the Rambam? What's the yisod of the din according to the Rambam? What's the basis of the din according to the Rambam? It's not about making a halachic mistake. Who passed out of the Sefer Torah? If it's only the Sefer Torah, can't be a very halachic mistake. So the impression you get from the Rambam is that there's certain kedusha of the Sefer Torah, and it's begam in the kedusha of the Sefer Torah to be missing a letter. A Gemara is missing a letter; it's still usable as a Gemara, but a Sefer Torah is missing a letter. It's a begam in the kedusha, or that's one possibility. Or you could say it's not about the kedusha of the Sefer Torah; we have a mitzvah to do with the Sefer Torah. We have a mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah. And the Shitas HaRambam is clearly not the Shita of Rav Rishonim. The Shitas HaRambam is that if a Sefer Torah is missing a single letter, it has a single mistake, you cannot be Yotzei with that Sefer Torah at all, even in a different Chumash. Other Rishonim say you just can't be Yotzei in that Chumash. Other Rishonim say you can be Yotzei. Mishmur gives all Akdama to the Si'if about when you find a mistake in the Sefer Torah, about what to do. It always comes up at the worst times that someone's leaning and they notice some error in the Sefer Torah. So that's what, when you're in Smicha, that's one of the things they tell you is this halacha you have to know, like, because you're not going to have time. This is not one of those things where you can say, okay, I'll call you back in an hour. You know, you're going to be in shul and it's going to come up and you're going to have to be able to deal with it on the spot. So Mishra Berurah in the Hakdam to that old sif says that many Rishonim hold that if you lean from a Sefer Torah that had a mistake in it, you're Yotzei Kriyas HaTorah. That's why, what do we do when we find a mistake? At worst, we put away the Sefer Torah and take out another one. At worst. But we don't go back and relay the whole Parsha. Why don't we go back and relay the whole Parsha? We weren't Yotzei anything. And last week's Parsha, the mistake was always here. It's missing a letter, right? So we don't do that because we assume that we're Yotzei. We assume b'diavad, like those Shitas and Rishonim, that were Yotzei. But maybe the Rambam's word is that it's specifically about a Sefer Torah because you need to be Yotzei in the midst of Kriyas HaTorah. And some people are going to rely on the Sefer Torah to be Yotzei Kriyas HaTorah. What would be the Svara for the Me'iri to say Nevi'im also? Right? Well, if you're going to say it's more than a Sefer Torah, so just go all out. Say it applies to all Svarim, Gemaras, Shulchan Aruch, anything. But what would be the Svar to say just Torah and Nevi'im and not Ksuvim? Torah and Nevi'im and not Ksuvim. So Pashtus, I would guess, Kriyas HaAvtorah, that they're reusing the Sifrei Nevi'im to read the Avtorah, and they want that to be accurate. And what would be the Svar for Rashi? Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim, but not anything else. So, well, the Ritva says Pshat and Rashi is, it really means everything else also, it's just he's speaking from Abiyami's perspective. But let's take the Pashtus in Rashi. What would be the svara to say that it's Torah, Nevi'im, Ksuvim, nothing else? So, maybe Megillahs, but then it should only be the Megillahs. Why is it all of Ksuvim? So the impression you would get is that it's Kedusha, that the Chabad Sefer Tanakh have a certain Kedusha that other books don't have, meaning other books are not necessarily complete units. They are whatever the author decided to write. But, you know, I once gave a shir on making a siyum. What kind of svarim can you finish and make a siyum on? So with Sefer Tanakh, if you learn it well, you can definitely make a siyum because that's a whole book. It's a complete book. What other svarim can necessarily be defined as a complete book? So poskim are very hesitant about this. They're not sure. You know, if you finish Chelek Aleph of Mishnah Berurah, Because Chafetz Chaim decided to split the Chafetz Chaim, who we now know what he looks like, decided to split up the I think I got that email forwarded to me with that video of the Chafetz Chaim more than anything else. We now split up the because he decided to split up Or Chaim into six parts. So that makes it a davar shalem, to learn a volume of Mishru. It's unclear. Nothing else is really a book where if it's missing something, it's a pigam in the book. But the Tanakh has Kedusha. Now, the Svara for saying that it relates to all books of Halacha makes a lot of sense also, because that's going to be, then you understand that it's a din in Halacha, it's a din in making a mistake, la Halacha. Now, the Rav Kook writes in a Tshuva, actually, in Tshuva's Das Kohen, in Siman Kufay and Dalid, he says that L'chora, putting the Gartel around it, might be a nafkamina between Rashi and the Rambam. I mean, if you say like that, the Rambam, the concern is only using it for Kriyas HaTorah, so if you put the Gartel around it, you'll remember not to use it for Kriyas HaTorah. But if you say that the concern is that you might come to learn from it, the way the Ritva understands that, the way the Ritva understands Rashi, that you don't want to learn from something that's a mistake, or the way the Beis Yosef understands, you don't want to learn something that's a halachic error, well, people will still use the Torah, even if it has a Gartel around it, to learn from it. They're not going to hesitate to learn from it. They'll just assume the mistake is somewhere else. It's not in the part that they're looking at. That's what Rav Kook suggests. But he says maybe according to Rashi, we're allowed to get away with the Gartel because no one learns from a Sefer Torah anyway nowadays. So the whole thing, the whole din won't. Ironically, according to Rashi, the din would apply with any book but a Sefer Torah. I mean, according to the Beis Yosef, according to this idea that it's about learning halacha, the Isser should apply to pretty much any Sefer we have except for a Sefer, any Sefer of Halacha that we have except for a Sefer Torah, because no one in the world learns any Halachos from a Sefer Torah. So that's the din of a Sefer Torah, the way the Rishonim understand. Darkei Moshe just adds in Yardei Reishayin Tes Aleph that correcting Sfarim is very challenging also. You have a Sefer Sheinu Muga, so you want to correct the Sefer Sheinu Muga. So says the Darkei Moshe, you have to be very careful that you know what you're doing. A lot of times your corrections are just making further errors, unless you really, if it's Sefer Torah, so we know what the Sefer Torah is supposed to say. We look back at other Sefer Torah, we know what it's supposed to say. But a lot of times people correcting texts of Gemaras and of Rambams and things like that, it's iffy. You don't really know if they're really getting the right thing, if they're really correcting it properly. So the Darkei Moshe even quotes, if you look, it's here somewhere, it's in source number 7. Yeah, he says, Kasva Rabbi David HaKoyin b'tshuvosav nesiv tezvav b'shem Rabbeinu Tam de'kosha la'agia svarim v'afilu b'makom shasvarim osenes shohuk sholosofrim v'tiknuhu v'ani shamati sheyeshcherim kadmonim shalo la'agia shum sefer al pi svara. Now you don't say, oh, logically that should mean that, and then you just fix it. You can't do it al pi svara. You have to have manuscripts. There's a cherim akadmonim to just make corrections al pi svara. People have to work very hard. You need scholars to work very hard to find manuscripts and to study the manuscripts and to figure out how to make the proper corrections. So that's in terms of the sefer. Actually, let's bring it down to la halacha, and then we'll move back to shtar perua. So la halacha shulchan aruch paskins in yardeya reisha in tes sif aleph. If in source number 8, Sefer Torah She'enu Muga, notice his Lashon, Sefer Torah She'enu Muga, the exact Lashon of the Rambam, that it's about a Sefer Torah. Asher la'ashoso yosem yishloshem yom, ela yisakino yignos. You're not allowed to keep it around for more than 30 days. It's interesting, where does 30 days come from? Why 30 days? So the Ritva writes that 30 days, the Ritva's on page 1 over here, the Ritva writes that 30 days al tishkan ba'alecha avla, that a shchuna is 30 days. To be shochein is 30 days. Less than 30 days is not called residing. So you're only not allowed to let it reside for 30 days, which is an unbelievable chiddush, because then it would turn out that a shtar perua also has been 30 days. The Gemara never said 30 days by a shtar perua. It just said you can't keep a shtar perua in your house. By a sefer Torah, it said 30 days. But if it's based on the lashon of being shochein, so then it should apply equally to all of these halachas. Some of the Rishonim say, the mitzvah to build a makkah. You have mitzvah saseh and lo saseh of lo sasim damim v'secha, but it's also a violation of al tishkan ba'alach avla. It would turn out, according to the Ritva, that element of the violation would not apply until 30 days, because it's only if it's shochin. It's an interesting idea. So the Shulchan Aruch says, what do you do? El yisakino yignos adds the Ramah. V'hu adin l'shar svarim. Ramah, quoting from Rashi, Ubeis Yosef, B'Shem HaGos, Ma'am, Ben Yeruchim, that the same is true of other Svarim. And then he adds the thing about how we shouldn't be magia svarim based on our own logic. Now, the Pischei Tshuva and Sivkat Nalif writes that if a mistake was found and the Torah was placed back with the others, and you don't remember which Sefer Torah had the mistake, you didn't put the gartel around the outside. Yeah, you found the mistake and you put the Sefer Torah back, and now you don't remember which Sefer Torah it was. And you look for the mistake and you don't remember which word it was on, which column, you can't find the mistake in any of the Sefer Torah, but there was a mistake, and now you can't find it. So what do you do? Can you use the other Sefer Torah in the Ara, or can you not use the other Sefer Torah in the Ara? So what would you think in that case? You think you can? Why? What's the svara?
Because they have a chazaka of being good. There's one that doesn't have a chazaka of being good. It's like a piece of treif meat.
Ah, so it's batel berov.
Yes.
So that's what the Pischei Tshuva says. That it's batel berov, which is very strange to say over here, because normally one of the basic rules of bittel is that a davar chashuv cannot become batel, like a davar shebeminyan, something that can be counted on its own, something that stands out separate from others, so it doesn't easily become batel. One would imagine the Sefer Torah would fit that qualification, but the Pischei Tshuva writes that if you don't remember, you can read from any one of them, because he says he adds a few more things. He says, we mentioned before, if a Sefer Torah has a mistake, then it's kosher to read from it according to most Rishonim. And maybe it's from a different chumash, which many other Rishonim say, if the mistake is in a different section of the Sefer Torah, that's fine. But he says, Duda al tishka b'alecha avla, you should work really, really hard to try to find the one that has a mistake. Now, the poskim discuss whether we have a responsibility to make sure that all of our svarim, on all of our shelves, what did the Rama say? Hu adin shar svarim. It's all svarim that we have to make sure they don't have any mistakes. So do we have a responsibility to be careful not to buy a sefer till it gets to like Mahadura Shlishas or something, you know, the third printing where they finally, you know, fixed up all the mistakes? The first printing of any sefer is laden with mistakes. So is that a problem? Is it an iser midivre kabbalah to buy such a sefer? It's a real question, because it's not something that you could simply answer, it doesn't apply to our svarim. What do you mean? The Rama says, yes, it does. The Rama says, hu adin shar svarim. So if you look at source number 17 for a moment, Rav Menashe Klein, in his Mishnah Halachos, has a big chiddush that you get the impression he feels like he needs to say, because otherwise we're in trouble. He says, al dvar shei laso, bahad dekaimlan, hichsik sefer Torah sheinu muga, over mishum al tishkan b'alecha avla, I over al tishkan b'alecha avla, k'shem machzik b'beis shar svarim bilti mugim chutz mi sefer Torah. If you have a lot of svarim on your shelf and some of them have mistakes, is that okay? He may be sefer a year le Rabbeinu Yonah. Sefer a year le Rabbeinu Yonah writes such a lashon. Al tishkan v'alecha sefer chumish neviim uksuvin she'en amuga im yodata lagiyo. And Beis Yosef adds, no, it's not just Tanakh. Rabbeinu Yeruchman, it's other svarim as well. And the Ramah paskins this way. So he says, it sounds like it should be about on everything. So he writes in the end, Ube emes, ki ke'es koshim ma'od li'zar bazeh. Very hard to be careful about something like this. V'ulai ke'hayom sha'svarim nidfasim b'dfus lo shayich ha'taima. Maybe nowadays that we have a printing press, this din doesn't apply anymore. V'rakish ha'kasvim b'yad gazru al zeh. And it's only when they hand wrote svarim that they made this gezeira. V'haven ki'esh taimim al zeh. And you have to understand there's good reason to say that. What's the good reason to say that? Why would we distinguish? Now let's think back. If you hold it applies to all svarim, what was the basis of the idea? So the Beis Yosef said, because you're going to make halachic mistakes. Why does it matter if it came off a printing press or if it came off someone's hand? The point is, you can make halachic mistakes. You make halachic mistakes whether it's a printing press or not a printing press.
Why would it not even be worse? Because it's being widespread.
Right, whereas printing press would be even worse, because
yeah,
it's a massive mistake.
Right, I think he's implying that the handwriting process is more error-prone. Because he's making the assumption that
there aren't, no, but we know there are mistakes in our printed svarim.
Right, but I think he's saying more like typo things, that if you have something set up, you won't get five different ones, and then five different books will have five different versions. I mean, one version might be wrong, but you'll have one version. You could have five manuscripts and they're all different.
Why does it make it better?
I don't know. It's not really better, but I'm saying that's what
it's a chiluk. I just don't know why.
Yeah.
You know what?
More likely to be found. Isn't there some of a car like that by manuscript? But
there you go with the majority.
The same thing, it's much more likely that if there's a mistake, someone will find it. If everyone's got a handwritten one, one person may have a mistake. Everybody else is fine. There's nothing that will call it out for him.
Okay, maybe that's the svara. He doesn't say that, but that's as good as svara as any, because he doesn't say anything. Now, if you look at...
It might just be easier to fix mistakes when it's printed, whereas it's a whole headache when it's, you know, written in ink on a clock and everything. Like, you're less likely to fix that. Whereas where it's just printed, you cross it out and write something else.
Oh, okay, I would think that it's harder when it's printed because you can't make those same types of letters in the book. Right, you can't put it through the printing press again. Whereas in a cloth, you could actually scratch it out and
right. We're talking about like the person who's buying it. So once you buy it, so
you could just put Sorach Lomar. Right. If you look, he elaborates on this a little bit more in another tshuva in source number 22 in Chelik Tes Vav Simen Resh Tes Zayin, and he writes in the third paragraph, "Vine Dover Gadol Shaal Ukvar Asakti Bezek Kama Pa'amin Lefi Das Rashi Dumei Dibizman Hazeh Mekayim Mitzvah Ksiva Sefer Torah B'Shar Svarim." So especially if you attach a lot of importance to buying Svarim nowadays, like the Rush does. The Rush says that we're Mekayim, the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah, by buying Svarim, since the mitzvah in the Rush's view, the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah, is so that we can learn Torah, and we don't learn Torah from Sifrei Torah anymore, we learn Torah from Svarim. So there's a mitzvah of buying Svarim. V'chiyuv yesh lagiyam. And therefore, the same mitzvah they used to have to be Magiyah, a Sefer Torah, make sure it's accurate, we should have on our Svarim. V'adheichna dvar magiyin. The mitzvah gimel to usim b'sefer azia also lachzika achiyivdo kol sefer v'yagia kol sefer v'imkene in the davar self halach is by sefer Torah. There are three mistakes in that sefer Torah. You're not allowed to use that sefer Torah anymore until you go through the whole thing again and correct everything. So we should have that with every sefer on the shelf. Umeidachisa Rabbi Natan v'siato gazru b'cherem shalol lagia b'svarim. And then on the other side, we have that dark emotion we had before. Don't go around correcting svarim. You know, don't go around correcting texts in Sfarim unless you're absolutely sure. Well, we know there are tons of mistakes. We're not allowed to correct them. We're not allowed to not correct them. What do we do? And we have a mitzvah to buy these Sfarim. So what in the world are we supposed to do? He says, I have a tradition that rabbis use Sfarim. Like they are. We use Sfarim all the time. They can't correct every Sefer. V'ulai shekayom konim Sfarim mibeis advus. Umuchzakin bishkios. So he gives a little more information over here as to what a svara is. And nowadays we buy from printing presses, and it's known that there's always errors in printing presses. Vishabeshta kivinda al, and a mistake, once it's there, is going to be there on a printing press. It's going to be in everyone's copy. It's going to be all over the place. Vimnizdakik achar kolashkios fatausim anemtsan bizmanazeb bisfarim lo nilmod kla. If we were to look for every mistake in every sefer and not learn from a sefer that has mistakes, we simply would not learn. So that's why we relied on the idea that hopefully people won't. So he said, what's the difference? The difference is that the mistakes are so plentiful that we simply wouldn't learn. Chazal never would have made such a gzeira on Svarim if they had a printing press. Because then and they use Svarim the way we use Svarim. That's what his suggestion is. Now,
how do you explain the Ramah, the Shar Svarim?
Before printing press.
I just checked and it's not.
It's after the printing press.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the 1450, the Ramah was born in 1511.
Okay, so that's an issue. That's an issue. Right? That's an issue. And also, he says Chazal never would have made such a gzera. Is this a gzera? The pasuk. It's a mitzvah. It's an isra midivrei kabbalah. I don't know if this is a gezeiras chazal. No, he's making an assumption that it's a gezeiras chazal. I don't know that it's. Now you could argue if you say like that goes memonios that Tanakh is what the pasuk is talking about, but any of the other svarim are a gezeiras chazal. It's a hard thing. I don't know. I don't know what. That's he's the only one I saw like really deal with it, except for, I guess we'll get to this now. I don't know if we're going to get to Shtar Perua if we keep, but except for the Shevet HaLevi. Shevet HaLevi has a tshuva to Rav Shabtai Frankel. Who is Rav Shabtai Frankel? Rav Shabtai Frankel was a very big Talmud Chacham, and spent a lot of time finding every mistake in the text of the Rambam that we have. And we have the Frankel Rambams. That's Rav Shabtai Frankel is the one that produced the Frankel Rambams. He didn't himself produce all the Marmakomos in the back, you know, but just the getting the correct nusach, getting the correct text. So he dedicated a lot of time to getting the correct text of things. And he started working on Gemaras. And he wrote a letter to Rav Vosner saying, you know, I'm doing a really big mitzvah here because everyone's violating like a terrible Isser D'Oraisa, the Isser Midivrei Kabbalah, by keeping their Vilna Shas's around. Because the Vilna Shas fixed a lot of things way back when, 350 years ago, whenever it was that they printed the Vilna Shas. It fixed a lot of things. But, you know, it's full of mistakes. I mean, there are a lot of things that were censored out of the Vilna Shas. And there's all sorts of, you know, how many times the Bach has to comment on a mistake here and say, it's full of mistakes. There's a lot of stuff. There's a lot that needs to be fixed with the Vilna Shas. And he writes to Rav Vosner in his Shaila, he says, you know, people, ever since the Vilna Shas was printed, all they've ever done was just photocopy the Vilna Shas. I mean, they just take copies of the Vilna Shas with all the mistakes. No one has ever actually worked on it to make it better. No one's actually worked on it to fix these things. And he says, look, it's expensive to do, you know, because it's very time consuming and you need people who know what they're doing, but we do have the ability to do it. So maybe we should do something about this.
I mean, I'm just saying, if you do learn that it's because we're afraid that we're going to make a lot of mistakes, how could you say that it wasn't, that they weren't goes there to all Sfar? I mean, because it's so wide with printing press. I mean, if there are more mistakes because of printing press, then you're going to make more halacha.
Yeah. It seems like a very, very strong taina. Seems like a very strong taina. I don't know. I don't know if I buy what Rav Menashe Klein says. So Rav Vosner is faced with this dilemma. On the one hand, he's got someone who's ready to fix everything, and he's going to save everyone from this Isser Midivrei Kabbalah. On the other hand, to say that you have a chiyuv to do this, and that short of this, we're all violating Isser Midivrei Kabbalah, means that for the last 350 years, every Jew who's had a Svarim library has been in violation of an Isser Midivrei Kabbalah. He's sort of stuck over here. So what does he do? So Rav Vosner in Shevet HaLevi, Chelech Chesim Reish Chafei, quotes the Gemara, obviously, and he quotes the various Rishonim that hold that it doesn't apply to all Svarim. But he says, it's nice that there are so many Rishonim that hold that way, it's not how we hold. The Ramah says it applies to all Svarim. Okay? Then he suggests that maybe there's a difference between Tanakh and other Svarim. He writes that when it comes to Tanakh, meaning he says, you're right, it applies to other Svarim, but there's a difference in the nature of this halacha, of that you're not allowed to have a sefer with an error in it as it applies to Tanakh versus applying to other Svarim. He says, when it comes to Tanakh, even if the mistake has no effect on the halacha whatsoever, it's a problem. Because Tanakh, as we said before, it is a Sefer Shalem. It's written either B'Nevuah or Baruch HaKodesh. It is, and every word is critical. So you're missing a word, it's not the proper Sefer. It's something. But when it comes to other Svarim, so if it's if there's an obvious typo, which clearly doesn't change the halacha and isn't going to make a difference in terms of how you learn it, it's just a mistake. It just, you know, it's unpleasant that there's a mistake there. But it's an obvious mistake. You know, there's a spacing mistake, and you know, yeah, obviously you see what the issue is, you see what the problem is. So he says that that is not going to be a problem by other Svarim. And the way he says it really is that when it comes to Tanakh, it's about the kedusha sefer, that the sefer has a certain kedusha and it only has that kedusha if it's a sefer shalem. Your Gemara has kedusha, has the same level of kedusha whether it's a sefer shalem or not. If you have, let's say, you know, they have like for kids sometimes when they do Aschelus Gemara, they have just one parak in the thing. Does that have less kedusha than another Gemara? No, it's all the same kedusha. But it's missing, you know, 90% of the Masechta. Yeah, it is, but it, for what it has value. So it's not a sefer shalem. No Gemara is a sefer shalem. We have so many things the censors took out anyway, but we're learning whatever we can learn from it. And it's the text of our Torah Sheba'al Peh, but it's not a text per se. It's ideas, and it's things that we need to learn, but it's not a complete text. So that's what Rav Ozner argues, that if there's something missing from other svarim that doesn't affect the halacha, then that's going to be okay. Now, he says, but anyway, nowadays, he says, since maybe it's all about psak halacha, nowadays, how do we paskin halacha? He says, we don't paskin from the Gemara anyway anymore. We paskin from the Shulchan Aruch. So it's only a problem in Shulchan Aruch. Since our Shulchan Aruchs are perfect, you don't have to worry about the Gemaras. So two problems with that statement. First of all, the Shulchan Aruchs aren't perfect. There's typos there too. Second of all, we don't paskin from the Gemaras. We don't paskin straight from the Gemaras. We don't open up a Gemara and say, oh, that's the halacha. But we certainly use the Gemara to understand that if you're learning straight from the Shulchan Aruch, you are violating the instructions of the author of Shulchan Aruch, who says never, ever paskin just straight out of this book. Make sure you learn the Gemaras first, because you will not understand anything if you just try to paskin straight out of this book. So clearly we use the Gemaras. Everyone who ever wrote a tshuva to anybody says, okay, the sugya on this topic, he starts. Ksum is daf yates. So we have a whole sugya. We have Rishonim that say that, and that develops a picture of how to view the whole halacha. So it's very, very difficult. Say, but he concludes the tshuva by saying, Pashut be'enai, shekivan shashas hazeh huga b'shaito, since it was edited at its time, el l'riboy atevos v'osios la'alfei alafim revavos, shas is so big, lo yitachin b'li t'uyos, it's impossible to produce it without mistakes, mikol makom atu'yos enim yisodim ba'alacha. But the mistakes aren't halachic mistakes. Ve'ein chashash yetzim izeh michshol baras. I'm not worried that people are going to make the wrong psak, because we've survived for hundreds of years getting the correct psak with our Chachmei Masora and the shas that we have. So you don't have to worry that our shas is going to lead us to the wrong psak. That's probably the strongest argument that he has. That if the whole concern is that we're going to get the wrong psak, well, we've managed for hundreds of years using this shas, presumably getting the right, hopefully getting the right psak. Aval bein b'zeh, bein b'zal, kol panim tov alav bracha yika bevadai. And at the end he says, I don't want to throw your whole career down the toilet by telling you that everything is fine without you. No, no, what you're doing is great. It's an avodah gedola. It's wonderful. You should correct all the mistakes. Tov alav bracha, mitzvah l'sakein. And, you know, whatever mistakes you're able to fix, it's going to make learning easier. It's going to be wonderful. It's a really great thing to do. It's just that you can't say that it's an iser midivrei kabbalah for everyone who has the old Vilna Shas on their shelves. That's his. That's Rav Ozner's approach to this issue. Now, a couple of other applications. Then maybe we'll go back to the other issue of the shtar perua. Where else do we have al tishkon ba'alecha avla? So there is. Let's see which one I'll pick over here. Rav Sturmbach in Tshuvas v'Hanhagos, Chelik Aleph Siman Tavkuf Mem Aleph, discusses. If you have a sefer written by a commentary to the Bible, a commentary to Tanakh written by Apikorsim, this is just right halach lemaisa. Sometimes people like to read the JPS commentary or other commentaries that are produced by the conservative movement or whatever. It always bothered me that people from certain yeshivas will like have no problem just reading the JPS commentary like it's totally fine. I always wondered, like, who they're relying on. Like, is there any Gadol Haposkin that ever said that that's okay? So I thought maybe Rav Soloveitchik, he was such an intellectual, maybe he must have said it was okay or something. But then you read his letters. He writes very clearly to the head of the RCA at the time, who wanted to participate. They invited the Orthodox rabbis to the table when they wanted to redo the JPS commentary. They invited, it was going to be Orthodox rabbis, conservative rabbis, reform rabbis, they're all going to work on it together. And Rabbi Soloveitchik said, in the strongest terms, you may not participate. What their plan is to produce apikorsis. Their plan is to stick in as much apikorsis. They are working against Torah Shebal Peh. They're actively fighting Torah Shebal Peh. Do not participate in an endeavor that's there to actively fight Torah Shebal Peh. And he doesn't argue if you're allowed. He doesn't talk about it if you're allowed to read it or not, because that wasn't the question he was asked. But I don't know why. There aren't enough commentaries on if you want to make sure that you get every word and you understand pshat. So there's a Ksava Kabbalah and then it's Siv, and there's a lot of really wonderful commentaries that work on exactly those things, the Malbim. So you could do that, and you can I don't know why people have to find the Torah in these places. But Rav Sturmbach argues that aside from that, al tishkan v'alecha avla. If a sefer she'eino muga, what's the problem with sefer she'eino muga? That you're going to learn the wrong thing from it. You're going to learn the wrong halacha. If it's bad to learn the wrong halacha, can you imagine learning the wrong hashkafos? You're going to learn that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't give the Torah, or that who knows what else is stuck inside it. So that's at a much worse avla. So he discusses, is there a mitzvah to burn such a sefer? You have a sefer in your house, and it has chumash. The whole chumash is printed, and on the bottom in English is a commentary from some conservative rabbis. So what should you do with such a sefer? Can you throw it on the floor? Can you burn it? Or should you keep it around? So he argues, not surprisingly, he says, to keep the chumash part around, if there's no clear mefurish apikorsis, then maybe you can keep the chumash part around. But he says, when there's divrei apikorsis b'mefurash, gam b'ofen she'ein b'zrikaso to'eles, al b'nidon didon she'abir ha'nitfasim ha'chumash, malei divrei apikorsis rachman al-tzlat. This stuff is full of apikorsis. The gam b'skai, and sometimes people tell you, no, but the commentary on this book is so frum, it's such a frum commentary. It's not frum, it wasn't written by a frum person. So it's not frum. You don't know what's in there. And sometimes you need to make a demonstration. You throw out the book to show everyone the sefer is tamei. It's chumash with Hashem's name printed yudkei bavkei over and over again. Throw it in the garbage, he says. It's a mitzvah to throw it out. That's how Rosh Zurbach says again, based on Al Tishkan V'Alecha Avla. Another example where this comes up in Poskim. Rosh Zurbach has a different dilemma. Maybe we'll close with this one. He says that he finally got himself to be yotzei the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah. He worked very hard to be able to be yotzei the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah. And then he went to South Africa. He used to travel back and forth in South Africa and Yerushalayim. So then he went to South Africa, and he got a call while he's in South Africa. We found a mistake in your Sefer Torah. Like a real one, a big mistake. It's possible. Should we fix it? So on the one hand, he's thinking, of course you got to fix it, because Al Tishkan V'Alecha Avla, you can't leave a Sefer She'eino Muga around, you have to fix it. On the other hand, he says, well, wait a second, if they fix it, who gets the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah? They're getting the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah. I'm not going to, it's a Sefer Torah, it's Chasar Osachas, is puzzle, so then only the person who writes the last letter is really getting the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah. So maybe if I have them fix it, I'm going to cost myself this mitzvah I worked so hard to be able to get. Maybe hang on and don't fix it. Assuming you can get back to Israel within 30 days. If you can't get back within 30 days, then forget it. You can't violate an Isser Midivrei Kabbalah. So that's one of the dilemmas that he has. Another one, Rav Vadi has a tshuva where he gets very upset about machzorim that have instructions of what to say and what not to say that aren't so accurate, that the printer is just, add an instruction. He says that's the biggest paisik for the for Amiratzim, is they just look at what the Machzor says. They don't know what it says. So he says that's the biggest avla. You're worried about where people are going to learn halacha from. Who learns more? Where's more halacha learned from than the instructions it says in the Siddur and the Machzorim? He says that's the biggest avla, that there are Machzorim that say not to do like Maran Beit Yosef. He was very, very upset by that. Okay, stop there.